The Process, a podcast about creativity and making music. In a world where maybe no one is listening, outcomes and accolades for contemporary classical composers can seem far and few between. Therefore, composers must embrace the one thing they will always have complete control over: the process. This podcast aims to understand this creative process by listening to new works and discussing them with their creators. Each episode focuses on one composer and their music. By understanding how and why they create, can inform inspiring composers and help audiences better understand contemporary classical music. In addition, each composer will be asked to answer a few of the creative cogitations. The creative cogitations are a list of questions all creative people should ask themselves. You can find a complete list of these creative cogitations at thenoisebuffalo@blogspot.com, as well as this and future episodes. I am Dr. Doug Bielmeyer, and I'll be your host as we explore the world of new music, creativity, and the human need to find purpose in their world and lives. This is The Process. Today's guest is Eric Salazar. Eric Salazar is an emerging artist with international press attention. Dubbed a superhuman clarinet hero by Big Car in 2015, Salazar pioneers the indie classical genre. He takes his classical training and fuses together modern electronics with classical instruments, blending ancient styles with present musical trends. Salazar's collective approach to performing wins the hearts of audiences as he guides them through the exploration of raw emotion. Eric's purpose for writing music is to create art that challenges standards, unites audiences of uncommon backgrounds, and connects souls through creative understanding. Salazar is a 2017 recipient of the Robert D. Beckham Jr. Emerging Artist Fellowship by the Arts Council of Indianapolis. When not writing and performing new music, Salazar enjoys drinking tea, playing video games, reading comics, enjoying the nightlife, and making people laugh. Eric, thanks so much for coming on to the podcast, The Process. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Great. So I wanted to start with a quote from Kyle Long, who's a Novo music columnist. His quote says, "Salazar is a dynamic and creative performer who composes music pairing his virtuoso clarinet skills against washes of electronic sound." So that's a really cool, that's a really great quote.
Yeah.
Does that encapsulate your music? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, I think it does. Yeah, I mean, I'm so honored by Kyle's words, using the term virtuoso. But yeah, I try to create these electronic backdrops that are essentially there to create a mood. And then I take the skills that I have with clarinet playing, and I bring that to the table and sort of marry that classically trained clarinet feeling to these moods created by these electronic washes.
Well, speaking of being classically trained, it says here that you hold a bachelor's of music in clarinet performance from Ball State, as well as a master's in music in clarinet performance from Bowling Green State University. Tell us a little bit about some of the things that you're doing here in Indianapolis, and specifically, you are a recipient of the Robert D. Beckham Jr. Emerging Artist Fellowship by the Arts Council of Indianapolis. Tell us a little bit about that, being a recipient of that, and how that's been part of some of your activities over the last year here in Indianapolis.
Yeah, it was such an honor to be awarded that fellowship. Basically, it's an opportunity for emerging artists to... The Arts Council is all about helping artists and serving artists, and this Emerging Artist Fellowship is... They want to help you take a step in your career that's getting you closer to your dream, basically. So you write a proposal. It's partially based on the proposal you write and partially based on the quality of your art itself. And my proposal was, a couple years ago I found out I was a composer and I started creating this body of work, and so I really wanted to get out and perform my music, and I've been doing it on my own, but I knew that I needed some help. So the other aspect of my career that I'm really passionate about is chamber music. This is just, small groups of smaller pairs of instruments. I really love how intimate it is.
Sure.
So my proposal was, I want help. Not just financially, I want some mentorship help as well. Learning how to book gigs and plan a concert tour. So that was my proposal, planning a concert tour with a chamber ensemble, where I get to perform with them and also perform my original compositions. So I've been doing this past year in Indianapolis, I put together a chamber ensemble called Forward Motion, and we are one of the great new music ensembles in the city right now. There's a lot of people doing great work, and we're trying to make new music, or indie classical music, or contemporary classical music, whatever you want to call it.
Well, no, stop there for a second. So you have a really great term for contemporary classical music. You have a term you use, it's indie classical, is that correct?
Yeah. It actually, the term began on the East Coast in New York City. That's where it originated, and everything's kind of slower to get to the Midwest. So
sure.
I'm not sure if they're still using it over there, but I like it.
So. Oh, they're probably moved on to something else now, right? It's post-indie. It's post-indie classical now on the East Coast.
Yep. Yeah, so with that fellowship, it basically gave me the resources and mentorship I needed to form a chamber ensemble, because that is my long-term career goal, to be the leader of a chamber ensemble that I get to perform with and compose music for.
So just going back to indie classical once again, so what does that term, you've sort of appropriated that term, you use that term instead of contemporary classical. Mm-hmm. So what does it mean to you, and why do you feel that's appropriate for what you do?
Yeah, so a couple of things. Firstly, well, what it means to me is I think it has the same relationship with classical music that a genre like indie rock has with rock music. So it's heavily influenced by the genre of classical music, but is separate from it. And I think that for my music, it's a good term for it, because you can hear the classical influences in my music, but you can also hear jazz and blues and folk music and throat singing and all kinds of different genres. But I also think it's useful from a marketing perspective, because sorry to say that when you say classical music, people immediately think that that's being in a symphony hall.
Sure.
Which is not what I'm doing. I'm mm-hmm. using electronics and like miking sure. up my clarinet.
Sure.
So I think that it's mysterious enough that
sure.
instead of going, oh, classical music, they go, oh, indie classical, what's that?
Well, you talked about your creative process of sort of sitting down with a DAW or technology, a Reaper, as you mentioned, mm-hmm. and creating, beginning creation that way. That's very similar to somebody who maybe is in an indie rock band, or mm-hmm. Even somebody making beats in a home studio type situation. So, the idea that you're locked in a tower writing on paper with an
right.
ink fountain pen, that's not the case. That's not how you're creating.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, great. Speaking of you and your music, Why don't we take a little time now to actually listen to some of the pieces?
Okay.
I think a great place to start might be Siren, considering this was your debut encore performance. And let's take a listen to it, and then I'd like to talk to you a little bit about, quote-unquote, the process of how you put it together and sort of where it sits now in the catalog of the rest of the things you've done.
Sweet.
So great, that was Siren, performed and composed by Eric Salazar. And it's from a forthcoming release on Centaur Records.
Yeah.
So that's exciting.
Yeah.
Well, great, a very kind of moody, kind of introspective sort of piece. And now, so this was the encore at, you said, your master's recital.
Yep.
So you said, what else did you play during that performance? You said some Debussy.
Yeah, Premier Rhapsody, and then Copland Clarinet Concerto.
Okay.
And then I also played a piece that I commissioned for flute and clarinet that used, it was multimedia, so it used fixed media images as the performers played the music.
Music, but not a fixed audio component, per
Correct.
Se. Not like this piece.
Right.
So this piece wasn't that far off from the other things that you were doing. It's not like you were doing mostly Mozart, and then it was all of a sudden this happened at the end of the performance. Tell me a little bit about, so you talked a little bit about its creation, which was sort of experimenting in a DAW, experimenting on a computer with technology and an interface. Tell us a little bit about sort of the materials besides that that you used, or tell us a little bit about the meaning.
I bought this a microphone that I saw, like, I browsed some forums and was like, most people were like, hey, this is pretty good mic for a condenser mic. Mm-hmm. For clarinet, it's pretty good if you're recording clarinet. So I bought that.
And what was that microphone? We'll do a plug for that company.
I don't know.
You don't know.
Off the top of my head.
You're not a nerd like me. Was it the Dash 75 or the Dash 75E? Because it makes a difference.
Yeah.
that's interesting. So you did some research about what is a good clarinet,
right.
Clarinet mic.
Right. Yeah.
And so you had that microphone. You talked about the interface that you used.
Yeah. Yeah. I just had a Zoom H4N, I think, and I just recorded myself, and I kind of layered some improvisations, and then once I had something that was, I thought, sounded really cool, I threw it into Reaper. And that's when things got really fascinating, because, I realized I could do a lot with the file. Like, It wasn't just, okay, I'm going to hit play and it's going to sound like this. Like, I could cut it up, I could elongate it, I could slow the speed down, which would lower the pitch of what I recorded, and then I could add on reverb and different distortion effects. And so it just became this, like, fascinating puzzle for me to figure out, like, I've got this music that I love, I'm not really sure what it's about yet. And then throwing it into Reaper and messing with it helped me learn what it was about and what it meant to me. And it ended up being, I called it Siren. It's like, not like an ambulance siren, it's like the mythological sirens in the Odyssey.
The siren song, I see.
So it's supposed to be kind of eerie and beautiful and seductive, but there's some menacing intention behind it. And that's why it's got all those pitch bends and the harmonies that they move in and out of being pleasing to the ear to clashing. So like a moment goes by and your ears get tickled in a rough way, and then the moment passes and it sounds nice again and you're like, what's going on? And that's supposed to emulate the siren song.
Great. So at what point in the piece do we crash into the rocks? Does that happen?
Well, the funny part is about halfway through, it starts getting dance-like. So sure. It's like you have succumbed to the spell, and now you are charmed, so to speak. And it kind of, at the end, there gets to be a lot of clarinet trills and things get really fast and there's a lot of clashing harmonies. And that's kind of when you open your eyes and realize that there's a sea monster that's going to kill you.
So what was the impetus for this, or the inspiration for
it? You know, I just like to tell stories, and I like reading stories, and music for me is, I focus a lot on mood, but I try to tell a story in that mood. And so, again, I had this file that I loved, and then when I put it into Reaper, playing with the file helped me discover what the music actually was. And as I was listening to it, I just couldn't help but think of the story of the sirens.
Fantastic. Well, let's listen to another one then. Let's do the title track from your upcoming album, Soul Search. And let's take a listen to that, and we'll be interested to hear sort of some of your ideas behind creating that then.
Cool.
Great, and that was Soul Search, composed and performed by Eric Salazar. That is also the title track of the upcoming EP, Soul Search. So tell us a little bit about how this piece was created. Just referencing real quickly Siren as compared to this piece, it feels like they were created in very different ways, perhaps.
Yeah.
So maybe talk a little bit about how this piece came to be.
Yeah. So this is actually, open admission, I'm a total nerd for video games.
Sure.
And this was inspired by one of the best moments of Final Fantasy VI.
Oh, wow.
Which is
it's
a
taking
game,
me back.
Yeah, yep, 90s. So I was actually I was too young to play it when it first came out, but when I was in grad school, I really needed something to keep me from going insane.
Yes, yes.
And so I embarked on a quest to play